Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Bob Young from the White County School Board. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming in. Talked to Kurt a few weeks ago, so we've talked a little bit about White County, but it'll be good to talk from the school board level. I know that sometimes people don't quite understand what the school board does, just in terms of operationally and the influence and the impact and how closely related you are to school operations. So it'd be good to talk through some of those things.
Sure. Well, I'll be glad to share some insight on that. School board, we're the representatives of the community in public education. Our responsibilities are rather strictly defined as far as what our roles are. One is we hire a director, and that director is our employee. The director then goes out and hires employees for the remainder of the district for the various positions that need to be filled. Budget. We're responsible for working to put together a budget for the district. That's done with administrative staff's help, and we oversee that it gets done. We get to review it, and then we have final say on budgets that then is handed along to the county commission for their approval. The White County Commission serves as our fiscal agent for the district, and so all of our budgets have to go through the process being reviewed and approved by them, and then policy. Policy is the other thing that we have responsibility and oversight on, to adopt policy as legislative sessions take place and more laws and statutes come out that will affect public education. We're responsible for making sure those get included in our policy manual, overseeing those, and then reviewing policy from time to time and making sure that our policies reflect what we value as a district and how we want our district to function. And then finally, one thing that you may find that you didn't know what a responsibility of a school board is for strategic direction, working with the director of schools and stakeholders in that to try to say, be forward thinking. What's public education going to look like 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? And that's really, those four things consist of what the role of a school board member is.
Yeah, nothing there controversial. In a small district,
nothing controversial. Actually, those things are very helpful. They're well defined. We don't hire teachers, there's a lot of things that we can't do that we like to say that handle those matters at the level of lowest authority. Sometimes things do get to our meetings, but there's the role of a school board is fairly well defined, and it's not a lot of things that people might assume that's done. That's a lot of those things are tasks are handled by your administration at all the schools, and that's where we like for those decisions and to be made. Ultimately, they would come up to the director if need be. We don't have quite as much latitude on decision making as some might think.
Right, for sure. You mentioned teachers, so one of the questions that I have that I ask everyone is who was your favorite teacher growing up? Tells me a lot about a person.
Oh, wow. I was blessed going through the White County school system. I had some amazing teachers throughout my years. I think back to through elementary. I think of Miss Barbara Sorrell was a very influential teacher in the day. I get into the fifth and sixth grade years. I think Miss Nancy Stone, Miss Melva Haston, Miss Shirley Scott. Then you get into middle school and high school. One particularly sticks out to me, not because it was it actually sticks out to me because what she convinced me to do to save the geometry class from homework that night, and it was Miss Deborah Ospaugh. She was Deborah Luke at the time, but she made me sing George Strait, "All My Exes Live in Texas" as a solo for in front of the class in order to get them out of homework. And you're talking about peer pressure. There was significant peer pressure during that time. But she was a great teacher. I enjoyed geometry. And so she's certainly one that stands out. But there were many for sure.
Yeah. I've heard lots of good things about Miss Ospaugh over the years. So when it comes to being on the school board, were any of those teachers, as you were going through school, were you always thinking, gosh, one day I'm going to serve on the school board and that's going to be great?
No,
how did you get there?
I guarantee you that none of those teachers would have pegged me for being a school board member during that time. But no, I was, there were some individuals who are involved in the school system that I attend church with, and they pulled me aside one night, actually wouldn't let me go into the building, and said, "Hey, will you have something you might want to consider? Or consider running through for school board." And I was very hesitant at the beginning, but it has been it's been a really good experience. In White County, we have a great district. It's run well. It's not run well. I'm not taking any credit for what's doing now. It actually was inherited a very well run district, and you can go back through the years and think about those that were part of that. I know Miss Sandra Crouch before Mr. Drumbarger, did a great job. Mr. Haley, very influential in setting the course for our district. I can go back and think even before Mr. Haley. I know Mr. James Rasko, part of that. Mr. William Warren Jenkins, Bill Jenkins, with English professor at Tennessee Tech. Those are some that I recall. That very instrumental in public education in White County. I know that there's many, many more. Those are just some that I was familiar with. But as a board member today, coming in when I came in to start serving in 2016. We inherited a good district. We really focused and did a great job on educating kids. The diverse group of students that we have in our district. Financially, we're healthy. We're one of the top districts in the state as far as financial health, and that just goes to reflect the stewardship that those prior board members and administrators and superintendents took just to make sure that they were putting White County in a good spot for the future. Mm-hmm. And certainly appreciate that.
Well, and speaking of budget, I know that it's always a back and forth with the county commission. In some worlds, the school boards set their own budget, and that's the budget. But in most public schools in the state of Tennessee, it's a back and forth with a request from the school board. What does that relationship look like for you all with the county commission?
It's a good relationship. The county commission is very. They're very trusting of us as a district in what our asks are. That's not to say that they just blindly accept whatever we put together, but we typically try to be moderate over the past few years that we've submitted budgets. We've tried to be moderate in our requests, not trying to put any undue strain on the community for spending that would make people pause and say, okay, how are we going to pay for this? And so the the county commission has been very, very supportive of us and feel a good partner in supporting the education in White County and the funding of it. Our fiscal agent, Mr. Chad Markham, does a great job in keeping us informed of you know, the revenues coming in, the revenues mm-hmm. going out, and where we stand. And again, we're from a financial health standpoint, we're a position we're very strong.
Yeah, and it's, I know it can be difficult to dole that out, to make those decisions. What does that look like within the school board? You know, once you get that pot of money, or you've got to ask for a little extra, but you know that you need it in the right hand, you need it in the left hand. What does that process look like?
Yeah, and that's a good question, Jeremy. You know, the way, in order to answer that, I think effectively, you really have to kind of understand how public education is funded in the state of Tennessee. And there's a lot of nuances into how districts are able to fund themselves, or they have to rely on state more for funding. But, you know, for White County, for example, our revenues are approximately 70-75% of our revenues come from the state. So that means we're getting local support from the county of somewhere between around 20%, and then we do get federal funds, and that number's coming in somewhere around 5%, just depending on the year. So from a funding standpoint, all counties are required to fund education. In fact, one of the things that in the Tennessee state constitution, in Article 11, Section 12, it says in the Tennessee state constitution, the second one was written adopted in March of 1870, but it says the state of Tennessee recognizes the inherent value of education and encourages its support. The General Assembly shall provide for the maintenance, support, and eligibility of standards of free public schools. And so in our constitution, you know, it establishes the state as a key player in making sure that throughout the state that we're providing free public education. And so the state is a big player in how education gets funded, but then it also is based on, from a county or the district's standpoint, what revenues you're able to generate yourselves. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're in the metropolitan area and that has healthy retail outlets for tax revenue, sales tax revenue, percentage of that's going to be kept locally. And so the state's going to expect that there's a local participation in that might be more than, say, what somebody in rural communities would experience. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it you know, the funding from a state level really drives is really what the districts rely on. And then what you're able to do with whatever you can match locally, the state's going to fund your district, mm-hmm. but you may be able to enhance that based on the economic activities that are taking place in your area.
Right.
And so, you know, there's some, probably about five hotspots in the state. I think Upper Cumberland's starting to become one of those hotspots. Mm-hmm. And so when you start seeing the economic activity around our areas, that then gives options for the local municipalities to contribute maybe more than what they could without having to go to the ever so popular raising property taxes. Right.
So, okay. Well, I appreciate that explanation. Let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and dig into some of the other areas a little bit. Welcome back to Local Matters, talking with Bob Young from the White County School Board. So we were talking a little bit about budgeting and what that looks like. So big picture in a district. So sometimes that homeowner is like, I don't want taxes to go up. I don't want to pay that extra. You know, and it's kind of funny because I'm I'm a proponent, obviously, of the local school system, of education in general. And so if I hear that my taxes are going to be $50 higher and we're going to be able to build a new school, I'm supportive. But in general, you were talking off the air a little bit about the economic impact. So, you know, if we take that opportunity to put that extra $1 million towards that TCAP project that then in turn prepares students and then in turn contributes to the economic development of the district, that's a big deal, especially in a rural district.
Well, it is, Jeremy, and appreciate you bringing that up. The education and community growth really go hand in hand, in my opinion. For a number of reasons, from an education standpoint, we benefit from more economic activity taking place in our city or our county, because a portion of that could become available to the district, and it's, you know, a lot of that will depend on those municipality boards and, you know, taking an interest in public education and realizing that, hey, there needs to be a contribution to our public school systems. Because if the, you know, if you're in a county commission or county executive in White County, the county executive, if you're, you know, mayor of Sparta, alderman, board, sorry, your whole big part of what your responsibility is how can we make our community more attractive? How can we bring industry in? So, you know, you're kind of tasked with that responsibility. Well, one of the things you do is you really need to look at all your resources, you know, the natural resources, the business activities that's taking place in your area, and how can you enhance the quality of life? Of course, obviously, you know, places to live and affordable housing and things of that nature. But then also, you know, your school system. Because, you know, people that move in to an area and have kids, you know, they want their kids to get high quality education. And that's all that rolled together. I mean, it really there is a partnership there, whether we really want to go out and promote it or not, or realize it. There's a partnership there that says, hey, it's all of us collectively together that make our communities grow and increase. So, and it, you know, you look at, from a community standpoint, you know, the quality of life and that goes in your community, you kind of set that standard, and those that have the opportunity to influence, that, you think about how you want your community to grow. Well, you want it to grow with a well-educated population. And you want to make sure that you're not just being known for exporting your talents. You want to keep your talent in, and part of that community growth and that quality of life in your community is going to have a bearing of whether those students want to stay in that area. And that's needed, because at some point in time you're going to have to replenish people on school board. You're going to have to replenish those serving in public office. And I think it's the cooperation and just understanding how we're all tied together. It is important. It's important for everybody to realize that.
Yeah. And I think it can be easy to overlook just because if you're not in the mix, you know, you mentioned if you're not on the school board, then, you know, how much do you really know about school board budgets? But it's beneficial, really, to the community to know that and to understand across those areas, because, you know, bringing in industry, you know, I see partnerships, especially in the TCAT areas. I see a partnership with an industry, and they'll say, well, we'll supply this $100,000 worth of welding equipment because we would love to see a training program that can then work for this industry that you could keep in White County. And so I think those partnerships, they're just no-brainers to me, but sometimes you miss those connections.
You do, because a lot of it doesn't get talked about a lot if you're outside that educational sphere. You mentioned TCAT, great partner with all the Upper Cumberland districts, but especially White County, we've really benefited from them and the interest that they've taken in our career and technical education program. We have we've got various things programs that are taking place there, a mechatronics program. They helped us secure an injection molding machine to be able to teach students how to be able to come out of there and have a certification and knowing and operating machines. And if you have any, you know, those that in the technical world in manufacturing understand that, you know, the machines coming out, they just keep coming out with more technology on them, and mm-hmm. and the great thing about it is these students they learn technology and they learn interaction at a very early age. I mean, they're teaching in eighth grade, and you know, in the STEM classes, they're starting to teach students how to design on a computer, CAD, and things that, you know, things I learned in TCAD. I didn't learn those when I was in eighth grade, but they're able to do that, and some of the work they're doing there is just fascinating. Starting in MOF, getting prepared much earlier in with some of these, from some of the skills trades. But the TCATs very much, you know, helping prepare, because you're out on the front end, and you're trying to recruit industry. To your point, if somebody came in and said, hey, you know, we'd like to put a facility in your area, I mean, it wouldn't even have to be in a particular county. It could be in an area, because we're so mm-hmm. transit, right? But we've really got to have this skill set. We've got to have people that can weld or do industrial maintenance or things, you know, HVAC and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Those are very important skills that need to be having. When you can start introducing students there in the high school, that really sets them off to kind of launch them a little bit quicker into their professional careers, and you know, TCATs play a big part of that. So yeah, it's important when you hear those things being announced, because mm-hmm. they're helping enhance our industry, our area, mm-hmm. to be able to attract industry.
Yeah, and all a part of the curriculum that the school board and the director sets. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and pick back up with the conversation. Thank you. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking today with Bob Young from the White County School Board. Appreciate you coming up from White County to chat with us. One of my questions that I had was, what's the most surprising thing that you've seen on the school board? What did you get on there and realize, oh, I didn't realize I was getting myself into this, or I didn't realize this was a facet of the school board?
Well, you know, that's a great question. There are many, many things that I didn't realize. You know, I think as we talked earlier about, you know, the role of a school board member, you know, I don't get to come in and say, hey, I'd like to, you know, enhance the sporting facilities this way. It doesn't happen that way. You know, that's not, I don't get that opportunity to be the driver behind that on my own. You know, it's very much a, you know, the school board operates is one unit. We have seven board members. We actually have two student board representative members as well, and that's just been a great thing. We've had three students in the past 2 years serving. That has been so good for our district to get their insight, and it's amazing to me how talented these students are, and the interest and the seriousness they give to this role being selected for that. But you know, when you talk about what did I learn, is it goes back to, you know, the as a board member, just the fact that we have specific requirements, things we're responsible for, and you know, that really sets path and course, and so I found that to be, once I got my head around it, and through some seminars and some training, that really it started bringing some clarity to the role that we're supposed to play. The, you know, one thing that people may not know is that, you know, school board members are the only elected officials in the state of Tennessee that are required to take continuing education training throughout the year. So we have to go to these seminars. We have to get updated and educated on, you know, the legislation coming out of the state that the General Assembly that affects education and how we incorporate that in policy. And so, you know, it's that was a little surprising to me. It's like, you mean nobody else has to go through training? I found the training to be very helpful. But yeah, that was a little surprising.
Yeah. And it's always interesting. Because I know officially you answer to stakeholders, answer to the voting public, and so do our legislators. But then we're at Tennessee Tech in the College of Ed, we're on the back end a lot of times of those legislative decisions also, and so sometimes it's hard for us to keep up. I mean, it flows through, and a legislator changes something, and then the state board changes it, and the Department of Ed. We eventually get the tail end of that. How current do you stay with that? Have you found yourself watching those board meetings and catching the minutes on those as soon as you get the chance?
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point. Because that's, you're talking about one of the things that surprised me. Here's another thing that surprised me, getting on the school board, is you'll go through a year and you kind of get your head wrapped around the things, the changes that are coming down the pike. And so you're going into the next year saying, oh, we need to look at trying to fix that. And you do. And then the next thing you know, there's something else. It's like, well, we haven't even gotten to fix this or even try to fix this. And now we have something else. I'm sure, and I get it, the way our system, you know, the way this is done, and the way the role the legislature plays and the State Board of Education, and, you know, from, in some respects, federal government, you know, I get it. You know, they have limited time to come together, and they have constituents that say, hey, what about this? We need to fix this. And it goes through that vetting process throughout the legislation, and, you know, they debate it, and then it comes down to us. But at the end of the day, all this legislation that's coming, it ends somewhere, and that somewhere is the district, and then it filters on down to the classroom, okay, and that's a challenge that I think from people from elected positions need to remember, is at the end of the day, what you're doing, somebody in a classroom is going to be affected by that. And it could enhance or it could hinder their ability to teach a student where that student's at. And so you have to be careful from that standpoint. I know that there is, standardized testing is something that, that we do a lot of in the state of Tennessee. And I get the reason why. If you're in any type of business where KPIs matter, then you understand, you know, you're measuring to something, and you know the amount of investment dollars that we put in, you want to see growth, and certainly respect that. It's amazing to me, you know, and we're very blessed with our teachers in White County. Are just you know, they're special, hardworking people. They do a great job. I mean, we've been recognized as reward school by the state through academic achievement. So you know that's happening in the classroom, and our teachers do a fantastic job with that, and administrators supporting that, and support staff. They got people that support them to be able to give them the opportunity. You know, as we're sitting here talking in this interview, you know, time goes by so quickly, and it's the same thing in a classroom. They have so much, and you're looking for that opportunity. You've only have a certain window of time to get somebody's attention and teach them and educate them, and so you just have to be careful that you don't put so much hindrance on that can't be done. Because at the end of the day, that's your objective, right? You're wanting to teach those skills to those students where they can be ultimately end up productive members of our society.
And so much of that trickle down. You know, regardless, and most recently it's been third grade retention law and the vouchers, and regardless of where you fall on that, it's pretty dramatic changes, you know, to the system. And then it's up to you all to take that back to the district and figure it out.
Correct. The third grade retention, obviously, that was a big thing. And listen, I get it. I get it. You know, you've got to, there comes a point that you've got to get it. You know, there's some skills that you have to get early in mm-hmm. life, and reading is one of them, and being able to read and have that the comprehension of what you're reading it, so it can really hinder progress. So, wanting to make sure you've only got a short window there to instill that skill. You know, the voucher bill passage was it's going to be something we'll have to work through in the years ahead. You know, and when you talk about education, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of ways people can get educated nowadays. And we're very fortunate. We live in a country that, hey, you've got options, right? You know, as I referenced earlier, the state constitution says that the state's going to provide free education. Doesn't say everybody has to go to free education, but it says the state's going to provide that free education. And so obviously when you're on the, I guess, the business side of keeping a district running, you know, and making sure that you can provide the supportive services and everything that you're being required to do because of legislation, then, you know, that you do, your role as a board member goes back to that budget thing, right? You know, what's it going to cost me to be able to provide these services, and where's my revenue coming from? And if there's a gap, how am I going to make it up? And so, you know, we're hoping that that doesn't affect our rural county like it might some other counties, that there might seriously be some competition in some other districts, you know, where that, you know, that voucher program could have some impact on their funding. But it's right now it's really early to see, but but yeah, I mean, at some point there may be opportunity we have to deal with that, and so certainly staying educated on what's going on is important.
Yeah, it can be a challenge, and that's, you know, we get situations like the recently they put in place the computer science, the coding part that we have left, and so, you know, the state of Tennessee said, well, it's a good idea that all kids know how to code. And I agree with that in principle, but then the trickle down was all of a sudden it's a law and we need teachers to teach it.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we were playing catch up on the back end. And so we're very well vested. We keep a very close eye on what those legislative sessions look like. And then, you know, we watch that trickle down all the way down through to you all and to the local districts. But it always has an impact, and that's the big thing in working through that. So, all right, well, we've about reached the end of our time, so I appreciate you coming out and chatting about White County, and good luck on the school board.
Jeremy, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this today.
Yeah, thank you.